بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. بشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, all of the schools have now reopened. Most of our children and youth back to school. My brothers and sisters, we all know that youth are the future, are our future, the future of our community. They are the future of Islam in this land. So in their situation and their state is and should be of concern to all of us. Because if the state and the situation of our children and our youth is bad, then that means that our future is also bleak and potentially bad. And if our children and our youth, their situation is good, is positive, and they are strong, then we can have hope and reassurance that inshallah, our future as a community and the future of this deen and this land will also be positive and strong, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us that كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. And there are different narrations, slightly different wordings, different narrations that have been, that this meaning has been conveyed in from the Prophet ﷺ. A child is born upon the fitrah. That every child is born upon the fitrah, upon the natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded in them. And then his parents make him a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. Now what is this fitrah? So the scholars have differed. Some of them have said that this fitrah is the ability to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not necessarily the deen of Islam in and of itself, but the ability to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is embedded in every single child, every single human being that is born. Another group of scholars know that this means that every child is born upon Islam itself. So this is a difference of opinion that the scholars have had in terms of understanding fitrah in this context, in the context of this hadith. In any case, we know that our children are gifted to us in a pure state. That every child that is born pure, and is born with this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the ability to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is we who through our choices, right, and what we teach them, what we teach our children, what we expose our children to, either help to solidify iman in their hearts or lead them elsewhere. So this is through the choices that we make. If we make the right choices that help solidify iman in the hearts of our children, then they stay upon the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside of them. And if we make choices which do the opposite, then that natural disposition, that fitrah, gets buried inside and by the teachings and the things that we expose them to. So this means, my brothers and sisters, that protecting a child's fitrah is our job from day one. Protecting our child's fitrah is our job. We all want our children and to succeed in this world and in the hereafter. We want all of our children to succeed, and particularly in three areas, right? Of course, we want them to hold onto their iman, not to become victims of, you know, atheism and other arms of shaitan. Number two, we don't want them to get into any major sins, and especially, you know, haram lifestyles. And thirdly, of course, and that goes with it, is we do not want them to commit any crimes. That's the bare minimum for most parents Of course, we want them to be happy. We want them to practice Islam. We want them to be well-behaved, and we want them to study well and be successful and have a comfortable life. So there's a few tips, inshallah, I'd like to share for all of us. And this is important for every single one of us because, as the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. What's the saying? It takes a village to raise a child. So whether we have children or not, or perhaps grandchildren or not, this applies to all of us because we all have a role to play in bringing up and nurturing our children, collectively the children of this ummah. Of course, the parents have a primal responsibility, but every single person has some role to play. First of all, every child will be different, but there are certain things that every child needs, just like their physical provisions, right? And first and foremost, love and nurturing care. The example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind, very tender-hearted towards the children. Right? Even though, of course, he had a very important position, he would always be very kind, very tender towards children, right? In expressing love towards children, and playing with children, you know, being tolerant with children, being forbearing with children. And when it comes to their parents, of course, children need their parents, particularly when they're young. And don't underestimate this time period, the formative years of a child's life, right? From birth until, let's say, age 8. That age, that period is extremely critical because that is when the child is developing in many different ways. Right? It is often, unfortunately, the time when young parents have high financial pressures and, you know, you have to work hard to establish yourself, to establish your career, to bring in a paycheck, to establish your business, so on and so forth. Right? So if you have children, especially young children, there's probably nothing more valuable that you can give them than your love and your time. Your love and your time, especially when they're young. And you solidify that positive connection with your child, and then you do tarbiyah along the way. It doesn't mean that because you love, you don't help teach, you know, you don't teach your child, you don't guide your child. But by spending time with your children, you find opportunities to do their tarbiyah in a nice way, to explain them things, to talk to them about things, to talk to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about, you know, the things that we do and we do not do, right? To talk about good manners, to have discussions and explain things to them, right? If you invest this time, if we as parents invest this time and love into our relationships, then in most cases they will pay huge dividends later on, inshallah, right? So take time off work, you know, and especially if both parents are working. I understand in many families it's a need and you don't have time. But as much as possible, try to spend time with your children. Resist the temptation to send them to daycare if you can. And if not, if it's not possible, then maybe try to leave them in the care of some righteous relatives or others who will help build them upon their fitrah, inshallah. So that's number one. Number two, my brothers and sisters, is to be their guide with gentleness. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, as related by Aisha radiallahu anha, that إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. That verily gentleness is not found in anything except that it beautifies it. And it is not removed from anything but that it disgraces it. Right? So gentleness is extremely important, especially when we are dealing with our children as they grow older. Right, we are their guides as parents, and it is natural that children, and especially as they become youth, they will make mistakes. Right? Which one of us did not make mistakes when we were young, when we were years? You know, everybody has some story, everybody has some challenge that we have gone through. Right, so it is natural to make mistakes, but the key is to allow them to learn from those mistakes. Right, so they're not repeated again, so that there is some benefit that comes out of it. If we expect perfection from our children, we are going to be disappointed. In fact, if we expect perfection from any human being, we are going to be disappointed. Because human beings are not angels. Every human being is going to have some shortcomings, is going to make some mistakes, is going to commit some sins. So let us be realistic and know that our children will not be perfect. They will make mistakes. But when they make mistakes, we use that as an opportunity to help them learn and grow from there. And as they grow older, we need to shift gears. Cannot deal with each other 5 years old and then deal with them the same way when they are 15 years old. There's a big difference. You can't have the same approach, right? So the approach has to shift gears in terms of how we speak, how we communicate, how we interact with them. It becomes more of a coaching role. See the difference between a teacher and a coach. You can understand the difference. A coach in sports, for example, versus a teacher in a classroom, especially for young children. Right? There's a difference in how they deal with those under their care. Allow them to make some choices. You know, you can't continue to control everything. You've got to start letting go. Because we have to prepare our children to deal with the future, to be able to fly on their own. If you continue to control everything, how are they going to learn how to fly? So allow them to make some choices, ask for their opinions on some matters, and respect it. It doesn't have to be on everything, but some things where, you know, it's not so consequential, do ask for their advice. Sometimes, yes, tough love is needed. And sometimes you have to be a little bit strong. Sometimes you have to, you know, take a slightly, you know, harder approach. But then always balance it out with gentle love as well. You know, expressions of love for children are important even when they are in their teens. Right? Yes, of course you love them, and that's why you are feeding them and clothing them and driving them and doing everything for them. But they need to hear it from you as well. They need to hear it from us as parents. And most importantly, when they do something good, and this is for all of us, when we see children and youth doing something good, let us praise them and encourage them. Why? Because it will motivate them to do that. Right? And not just for our own children, even here at the masjid. Right? Any place. Right? If you see a child, you see a youth who is doing something good, or even if they are trying to do something good, then take a moment and encourage them. You're doing great, mashallah. Great job, mashallah. Now, I'm proud of youth like you, and so on. You know, give them encouragement, because when a person says, you know, that they are appreciated and their goodness is being noticed, it motivates them to do better. And the more negative we are with our children, the more they will want to escape and rebel. Always remember this. The more negative we are, the more they will want to escape and rebel. You think of ourselves, all of us, right? If you're working for someone, do you want to work for them or be under them if they are constantly berating you, they are constantly shouting at you, they are constantly putting you down, they are constantly finding your mistakes? If you do something good, they don't recognize it. Do we want to be in that type of environment? No. Yes. So let's try to bring some positivity in our interactions, even if we have to find something small. Even if it's not a big deal, find something small and encourage them, inshallah, then encouragement will help them grow and overcome their weaknesses. It will help them overcome the shortcomings that they have. Number three, my brothers and sisters, is trying our best to establish a strong and stable family life. There's probably nothing as destructive to a child and youth's mental health than a chaotic or a broken home. Now, I know many times this is not in our control, but when it is, please do not create problems in your family due to petty issues or your own desires. Right? I'm not at all suggesting that victims shouldn't get help in cases of domestic violence, but what I am suggesting is that the perpetrators of this type of environment and this type of violence, and those that contributed to it, they stop. If not out of love and concern for one another, then at least for the well-being of the children. Right? Children and youth, they need both parents that are loving and supportive. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a child needs the mother and needs the father as well. So try to spend time together, especially when they're young, but even when they're older, opportunities for family quality time together, whether it's activities or games or dinners or, you know, programs or events that you attend. But as they grow older, also give them some independence as well. Boys need positive male role models. Girls need positive female role models as well. And finally, number four, my brothers and sisters, is keep them engaged. Keep them busy, right? As the saying goes, an empty mind is a devil's workshop. So most of the trouble starts when there is too much free time, right? So support building a passion or interest only early on, right? Whether it is attachment with the Quran, ideally that is the best, right? A child who is attached to the Quran, time with the Quran, there can be nothing better than that, right? So whether it is Quran, ideally, or sports, a certain type of sports, martial arts, or maybe baking, or art, or running a business of some sort, whatever it is, try to give them something to do in their free time. If they have nothing to do in their free time, that is when you are setting them up for trouble. If there is nothing, then something else will take its place, and it may not be positive, right? Always try to keep your children engaged in something. Know that our wealth and our children are a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah azza wa jalla tells us, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. That your wealth and children are only a test, but Allah alone has a great reward. Our job, my brothers and sisters, is to try our best. The worst of the people, children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided, and the best of the people, prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam, have had children who have become misguided. So there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees, I'll tell you right now. Okay? There's no guarantees. We have to try our best. Most important job is to build a solid foundation. As a youth worker long ago said, I heard on the radio, that most youth will make mistakes. Most youth will make mistakes and will lose their way. But it's the ones that have a foundation that will bounce back once they snap. And the ones with no foundation will have nothing to fall back on. So if you have established a foundation, yes, it is likely that your child may, you know, deviate a little bit. But inshallah, once they snap out of it, then they'll have that foundation to fall back on. But if that foundation has not been built, then there's nothing to fall back on. And that is when we see that youth go totally astray. Try your best and leave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep making dua, because the dua of the parents is very powerful after you have made the effort. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our children, our youth, and all of our future generations, to grant them istiqamah, protect them from all types of trials and tribulations and challenges. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the best of parents and the best of supporters for our future generations. Ameen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.